You want to stand to your feet and, you know, at least let's say some thank you to God again. Has it been a good camp?
Yes.
Has it been a good time?
Yes.
Have you learned a lot?
Yes.
How many of you are action people who are going to act the thing out immediately? Action, action, action. Action, yeah. That's the only way you become fruitful. That's the only way you do well. You do things immediately. So if you are a calculating type, when it gets to the work of the ministry, be an action type. Be somebody who moves and moves immediately. Be more spirit controlled than temperamental. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Do you know Nero? Okay, let's thank God for tonight. Let's thank him for this camp. Let's thank him for what we've learned so far and what we received so far. Thank him. Thank him. Bless his precious name. Bless his precious name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody saying thank you to God. Everybody thanking him. Thanking him and blessing his precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for a blessed time. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for beautiful revelations that you brought to us. Instruction, wisdom, understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to bless you. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your greatness. And we want to thank you for your rich mercies towards us, Lord. Let your will be done once again. Thank you for this session as we come into it. Let your will be done. Let your Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I like a loud amen.
Amen.
Even a better amen.
Amen.
And a faith-filled amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Sit like gospel commissioners. Italy, 1,000, it's possible. Is it possible for you? Are we going to see it soon?
Yes.
Wow. Me, I'm a UD person, so as soon as it happens, I'll join the party.
Yes.
Even though I'm not from Italy, but I'm from UD.
Yes.
So I'm a force arrive.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. So highlights of the Great Commission. I think it's been some fantastic revelations that we've received here. I just feel that we must well and truly give ourselves to the Great Commission, to soul winning. It looks like it's everything. It's everything. It's everything a believer and a Christian should live for. You should just live to be a savior. A savior. Saving souls. Leading souls to Jesus. What do you think? What do you think? Do you think so? Those of you here, have you been in the camp? Have you enjoyed the camp? Okay. What about those at the end here? Okay. You are alive. Relax. Relax. I can see that you are alive. I think that with the amount of information and the instructions that exist in the Bible about the Great Commission, it seems like it's even disgraceful to deviate from it. and to talk about something else apart from soul winning. Because look, all the Gospels, Romans, I mean, I don't even know what is coming next. Everything is talking about the Great Commission. And we've been reading the Bible for some years now, isn't it? We've not seen the Great Commission there. Yeah. We should really thank God for our pastor and for our father and our prophet and what we have, that he can literally point us to soul winning. That it's all about soul winning. You must all become pastors and shepherds. All of you. All. Wow. That's for that 1,000 member camp, I think. How many of you are going to be there? You will never become an orangu. You'll be here to see. So let's go through some of the points we have very quickly so that we know that we're all on the same page. Are you here and alive? Are you alive? I feel you are alive, actually. So highlights of the Great Commission by Matthew. Do you have that one? Number one is what? Okay, I'm waiting for you to find it. I'm waiting for everybody to find it. Everybody has to speak. Those here at the back, are you okay? Okay. Beautiful. So find your notes and let's go through it very quickly so that we know that we are all on the same page and we have the same understanding. So highlights of the Great Commission by Matthew. Number one is what? Part of the congregation are not speaking. Who doesn't know what it is? I don't know why I'm suspecting this side. What about this side? These are the suspects. Okay, I'll try again. Great Commission by Matthew. Highlights of the Great Commission by Matthew. Number one is what? Beautiful. Number two is what? Power ministry. Number three is what?
Teaching.
Teaching. Teaching is what confirms that the Great Commission is church planting. Planting more churches. I believe we're going to have more churches in Italy. Yeah. More churches. What are your largest cities here? Milan? Where? Rome? Napoli? Torino? Genova. Do you know the populations of these places? Now, the point I want to make is that the reason I'm asking, are you there? The reason I'm asking is that it means that some of these big cities, we must have more than one church there. We must have about 30 or 50 churches in Rome. It's not possible. Milan must also have more churches. More churches. We can't have just one church in Milan and say that we are in Milan. Or have one church in Rome and say that we are in Rome. No. 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 You need more churches. You need more groups that are being taught. That are being taught. That we are teaching them. Fulfilling the Great Commission. You are teaching them. We can't say we're in Rome. We all know about Rome, almighty Rome. And then we say that we are in Rome. We have are you mustard seed? Yes. Mustard seed. Mustard seed has mustard seed is in Rome. No, we are mustard seed, yes. I'm UD. I'm everybody. I play any team. Yeah. What did I say? That mustard seed is in Rome. And then we are in some one hall somewhere. No. We must have several churches in that big city. I mean, it's a big city with human beings. Someone should check the population of Rome for me. How many people are in Rome? 2.6 million. Abba! And then what about the population of Milan? 1.3 million. So what's 25% of 2.6 million? Calculate. Divide 2.6 million by 4. What's that? What's the quarrel? Milan is what? Is Milan bigger than Rome? Population. Is that Milan is 3.2. So what's Rome? 4.3. Hey. So Rome is bigger. Rome is 4.3. Milan is 3.2. Yes. So we should have plenty churches. Plenty. Plenty. Who are those who are going to be the teachers? That is the shepherds and the pastors of these churches. Who are those who are going to be it? And some of you don't even live there. You have to move there. That's the first instruction. Go ye therefore. You have to move. You have to uproot yourself. You move from wherever you used to live at and arrived in Italy. Not because of the gospel. Because of... Yeah. And even though we don't want to go into it or talk about it, you know how you arrived. The sacrifices, the pain, the difficulty, but you arrived, isn't it? And you arrived for what? For mission work. You arrived for what? What brought you here? What was the attraction? What was the motivation? What moved you across the desert? So now that you are you here? Now that you are in the country, if you have to move from one city to the other for the sake of the gospel, will it be too hard? Should it be too hard? I mean, will God be happy with you if he said that I can't move? After he has kept you, from the shores of Africa, through wherever the route is, preserved your life from sharks, and you've arrived here now to move from one city to the other, it shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be difficult at all. Should it be difficult? Do you think God will be happy if he hears that you say, he said, look, as for you, you've just settled here. That's it. It's okay. He wouldn't be happy. So we have to go and we have to teach. The teaching is important. Beautiful. Take a seat, yeah. So we'll have the teaching. And then the next one was what? Baptism. Baptizing in water and the Holy Ghost. It sounds like you monitor all the time how many people have been baptized in water, how many people have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's a reflection of how alive the church is and how fruitful your church is. So if you are just there, no water baptism, no Holy Ghost baptism, it's an indication that the church is dead, stagnant, and the pastor perhaps is into other things. So you use baptism to know what is going on in your church and how healthy your church is. Holy Ghost baptism, water baptism. It's part of it's Matthew's Great Commission. And then number four is what? All nations. Okay, Great Commission by Mark. Number one is what? Go ye. And then number two, all the world. All the world, which is different from all nations. You remember that? So the whole world. So places that you wouldn't call nations. You may say it's an island, it's a whatever. It's all the world covers it. Number three is what? Preach the gospel. So it means that the messages that we preach in our church, the scriptures is teaching us clearly that it has to be the gospel. Pure salvation. How you can preach salvation. This is what we must be preaching in our churches. And we have to preach it for a long time. Very, very long time. Just preaching salvation in the church. How many of you heard the Good Friday sermon? It was such a beautiful sermon. Beautiful sermon. It made preaching salvation so attractive, so nice, so simple, but very extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Extremely. It's like something that is so nice and yet it's not common. And you wonder that why do we even preach about other things when we can just preach about Jesus and preach about pure salvation? So we are expected, God expects us to preach the gospel, nothing but the gospel. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Number four is what? To every creature. Everyone has to know who Jesus is. Number five is what? Signs. What are the signs? Number one is what? Casting out devils. Number two, speaking in tongues. Number three, taking up serpents. Number four, Number four, no deadly thing will hurt you. And then the next one, laying on of hands, isn't it? So people will recover. Then the commission, the great commission in the book of Luke. Do you have the highlights of the great commission of Luke? Number one was what? Open understanding of scripture. Number two is what? Repentance. Then number three, remission of sins. Number four is what? All nations. Beginning where? So that means that your ministry is a journey. It's a journey that you are on. So there's a starting point, and then you are going somewhere. So it's a journey. And then number five, Holy Ghost power will follow you. The next highlights we had was from the book of John. Is that what you have? Yes. Highlights of the Great Commission by John. Number one is what? Love is the basis for obeying the Great Commission. Were you blessed by those songs on loving God? Did you get new meaning today from hearing those songs after hearing the message on love, loving God? Because if you don't love God, you really can't serve Him well. I mean, those songs were really special to my ears today as I heard Ida singing about loving God and loving the work. So love is the basis. It's your love for God that would be your fuel in becoming a savior of men. Amen. Number two is what? Feeding. Feeding with what? Pizza? Chips? Pasta? Feeding with what? Spiritual food. And then number three, emphasis on love. And then number four, shepherding. Are you becoming shepherds?
Yes.
Are you going to become powerful shepherds? Great shepherds. Anointed shepherds. Shepherds who love God. Or shepherds who love posts. God-loving shepherds. Wonderful. Then the next one was what? Highlights of the Great Commission in the book of Acts. Number one. Power. Number two. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is coming again. The coming of the Holy Ghost. Number three. The uniqueness of witnessing. That is your personal story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. How many of you have a story of how you met the Lord? Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has something that you can share, which is powerful. Because that is how God saved you anyway. That's how he saved you. I got saved through a tract. Do you know tract? It was a pink tract called 48 Hours in Hell. Yeah, I read that pink tract. I saw it in the house. And I took it and I read it. I don't know where everybody was in the house. But I always remember reading that tract, sitting in my, of course, my parents' house, sitting in the sofa. And I read 48 Hours in Hell. And I read, there were two verses that hit me that night. One of them said, it said, all have sinned and fallen short, everybody. And I thought I was a good boy. I thought I was a nice guy. I thought I had no problem with God. I said, everybody has sinned. And then the next verse that they concluded was that the wages of sin is death. I always remember reading it like this and sliding off the sofa because at the back was a sinner's prayer. And I turned at the back and because I had to keep my eyes open and read the sinner's prayer and gave my life to God. Yes. It's a story. Is it not a story? Yes. It's a story. That's how I got born again. A pink tract called 48 Hours in Hell. Somebody's testimony of how he went to hell. It was scary. It was really scary. And the verses at the end, all have sinned. Everybody is a sinner. Because I really thought I was pure. And because you know how Christians, when we are witnessing or we are talking about sin, we talk about fornication, drinking. No, you know the big five or six. And none of them was in my life. So I felt I was okay till I read that everybody is going to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. So I read the tract and gave my life to Christ. So when I'm preaching, I can tell people about God's love. That, look, it's about God. We are saved by God's love and not by our own righteousness or our own purity or our own, There's a story that can affect different types of people. Different types of people. So your story would also work. So let's be witnesses. That is our personal experience with God. The next one is what? Four phases of your life and your ministry and your great commission. And then number five is what? Oh, I can't hear you anymore. Were you asleep at this point? Okay, the highlights of the Great Commission in the book of Acts. Number one is what? What's happening? Number one is what? Power. Number two, the coming of the Holy Ghost. Number two, uniqueness of witnessing. Number four faces of the Great Commission. And number five, uttermost parts of the earth. And then finally, we had the highlights of Great Commission in Romans. Number one is what? What? Heart desire. There must be a heart desire. Number two, salvation is for religious people. And then number three, I can't hear you. The need for believing. Next one. Need for hearing. Next one. Need for sending. Next one. Need for preaching. It looks like some of you had fallen asleep by this point, because you stopped writing. Need for what? The first was what? Need for believing. Those of you who missed it out, you should write it now. Need for believing. And then number two is what? Need for hearing. Next one is what? Need for sending. Then the next one? Need for preaching. A preacher is required and needed. Then the next one is? It's a beautiful job. And the next one? I can't hear you. You do what? Stretching your hand to disobedient people. Ministering to the disobedient. And then the last one. Need to go to the nations. You missed that one. Preach to the nations. Need to go to the nations. To the nations. To all the nations, yes. Yes. Obedience and then preaching to the nations. You've got that. Beautiful. You are blessed. Put your hands together for Jesus. And stand to your feet as we welcome Bishop to the